Welcome to Rising Moon Astrology. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology. Welcome. In addition to this podcast, I have a website at risingmoonastrology.com where you can find information about readings that I offer and how to contact me if you'd like to explore astrology one-on-one. I also am on Facebook and Instagram if you want to follow me there. Currently, I'm podcasting for each new and full moon, but I do write shorter posts that I put on the website and Facebook and Instagram and can be mailed to you directly if you sign up for my mailing list on the website. So there are lots of ways to follow me, learn about what I do, and learn more about astrology, especially the astrology of the moon and her cycles. So I think at this point, we are getting accustomed to looking at this year as something unusual, something not just different for this year, but different for good. We know that we're at the end of the era of Earth, and moving toward the era of air. And yet it's not at all clear what that's going to mean exactly. And this waning cycle is no exception to that rule. So in response to some requests, I've been trying to remember to do this opening section by listing dates and times and key bits of data. I will recommend for some of these that you check out the blog and Instagram, both Rising Moon Astrology, because those dates and so on will be listed there on graphics. But I am going to read them here for those of you who are listening to the podcast and maybe not likely to check out the social media posts. Before I even get into this waxing cycle, I'm going to preview something that will begin with the full moon that we are heading toward, because this waxing cycle then will become the prep period for that, which is we are now entering eclipse season. The next three lunations, full moon, new moon, full moon, will all be eclipses. None of them will be super tight. Well, I guess the one in the middle kind of will be, but they're not going to be total, let me put it that way. But that doesn't mean they're not real eclipses or things that we need to take note of. So before I read the markers for the waxing cycle, I'm going to go over the dates and data for these eclipses for June and July, because I think it's important as we move through this waxing cycle toward the first one that you begin to be aware of where each of these eclipses is going to fall relative to your birth chart so that you can check, see what these might be bringing up for you. See what you want to be aware of as we move forward. So So at the end of this waning cycle, on the 5th of June, at 3:12 in the afternoon in my Eastern Daylight Time Zone, we will reach the full moon in Sagittarius. This full moon will fall at 15 degrees 34 minutes. It will be a penumbral lunar eclipse, part of Ceres Series 111, located at the descending node of the moon, the south node, at 29 Sagittarius. Now, you may be wondering, how is it that the full moon is at 15 Sag and the eclipse point, the descending node, is at 29? This has to do with what makes an eclipse full, total, or less so, like this penumbral lunar eclipse, which is that we have an eclipse as soon as a lunation, full moon, or new moon gets within about 18 degrees of the nodes. So, as is true for so much else happening this year, this particular eclipse series is also a transitional one. The nodes have just moved into Sagittarius and Gemini, which means that we can still have lunations that are in adjacent signs rather than the same sign. And you will see that this will be true for the next two in the series. The farther the nodes move into Sag and Gemini, the more the eclipses will focus exclusively in those signs. So, new moon in Cancer, June 21st, 2:41 a.m. This is going to be an annular solar eclipse at 0 degrees Cancer, part of Ceres Series 137, at the ascending node, the north node, at 29 Gemini. The third in this series will be the 5th of July at 12:44 a.m. It will be the full moon in Capricorn, 13 degrees, 38 minutes. It will be another penumbral lunar eclipse, this one part of Ceres Series 149, at the descending south node at 29 Sag. So hopefully you already have some awareness of where 29 degrees of Sagittarius and Gemini fall in your chart. But do check the full moon in Sag, 15 degrees, the new moon in Cancer, 0 degrees, the full moon in Capricorn, 13 degrees, and begin to figure out where and how those will affect your birth chart, what houses they'll fall in, what planets or points will be aspected. Those will be good things to know. For the key points in the waxing cycle that we are currently in. Tomorrow morning, Tuesday, May 26th, 9:44 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, we'll have the crescent moon, which will be in the sign of Cancer. On Wednesday, the 27th, at 3:02 in the afternoon, we will reach the waxing sextile with a moon in Leo. The first quarter moon will be in Virgo on Friday, May 29th at night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We'll reach the waxing trine with the moon in Libra on Monday, the 1st of June at 5:28 in the morning. The gibbous moon will also be in Libra, very late Libra, on Tuesday, June 2nd at 7:50 a.m. And as I mentioned, that full moon in Sag will be on Friday, June 5th, 3:12 p.m. Those are the key points. I'll give an overview of the energies that I see developing over these next few weeks as we continue to move from the new moon toward the full. In general, we'd expect a waxing moon cycle that began with a Gemini new moon to be bright, active, fast, curious, clever, and innovative. Those energies are certainly around. And yet, one of the overriding themes of this waxing cycle is the Venus retrograde in the sign of Gemini. She will remain retrograde this entire waxing cycle. And so we will continue the duality of Gemini that we saw at the new moon, of a sense of optimism, lifting of spirits, speeding up, a sense of being able to break out and do things, and at the same time, a need to reflect, a desire to think carefully about past patterns and how they've worked for us or not, and what we want to do going forward. So with each lunar cycle, waxing or waning, the major points that are marked are challenges. The crescent moon is half a square. Then we have the first quarter, which is a square. The gibbous moon is a square and a half. These are points where we are tested, our resolve, our commitment, whatever we chose at the new moon, whatever path we embarked on, are we going to carry through? Within those, we have two easier, insightful times, the waxing sextile and the waxing trine. But the main points are challenges along the way. So think of us all together, not necessarily going in the same direction, but all starting together at the new moon, heading down a path toward a particular goal or desired ending. As I said, tomorrow morning, 9:44 a.m. in my Eastern time zone, we'll reach the crescent moon in the sign of Cancer. And although I describe this as a challenge, and it is, this will be a very tender crescent moon. This moon will be exactly trine Neptune. The Sun, on the other hand, will be applying to square Mars, who, like Neptune, is in Pisces. So there's a sense of emotional sensitivity, of tenderheartedness, of wanting to take care of others, but also not wanting to be wounded ourselves. And that in itself might be the initial challenge to move forward as we wish to be active with Gemini, and yet to not get hurt. The next day in the afternoon, Wednesday, May 27th, at a little after 3 p.m., we reach that waxing sextile. And this moon is in Leo. This one is ready to speak out, to be heard, to get the words out. But this is that moment of understanding. And here, we have a Leo moon just separating from an opposition to Saturn in Aquarius. Maybe feeling like forces outside our control are trying to hold us back. So, yes, we want to speak out. But we also, in line with that Venus retrograde, want to be sure we are speaking well, speaking authentically, speaking kindly. The Buddhist concept of right speech, I think, will be associated with this waxing sextile. When we get to the first quarter moon, we're going to be in the sign of Virgo. So the new moon and the first quarter, this cycle, are both in Mercury-ruled signs. But Mercury herself has now moved into the sign of Cancer, that tender-hearted sign that we met at the very beginning of our waxing journey. So Virgo is all about being careful and taking care. We want to take steps. We want to commit to our direction forward. And yet, we're feeling a need to be planful. And we may be unsure even of our goal. Because by the time we reach this point, on Friday, May 29th, at night, 11:30 p.m., Venus will now be combust, lost to view, so close to the sun we cannot see her. Do we know which way to go? Do we not? Sometimes, however, we need to do something in order to get feedback from the environment, to know how to move ahead. So the challenge I feel at this first quarter moon in Virgo will be to choose a thing to do, even in the midst of being unsure exactly what is the perfect right thing, and using that step that we take to elicit feedback from the world, from the environment, so that we know where we are and what we're meant to be doing. When we reach that waxing trine on the 1st of June, the moon will be in Libra. And at this point, that moon is going to be assuming a focal position in this chart. There are some challenging aspects to this waxing trine moon, some yods, for example. And it might not, again, be totally clear what we're up to. But Libra looks for patterns. Libra looks for beauty and harmony and balance. And those will be our keys to understanding how we want, how we need to move forward. When we reach the gibbous moon, the moon will be in late Libra, and will be even a stronger focal point than she was at the waxing trine. There's a Thor's hammer pattern, sesquiquadrates, pointing at the moon with a square at the bottom. A sense of go higher, go home. But the challenge of the gibbous moon is to commit, to say, I've gotten this far. You're not going to stop me now. And so we'll need to step into our sense of presence, a sense of power, perhaps, around who we are and what we want and what we're committed to. Now, interestingly, before we reach that full moon eclipse on Friday, June 5th, Venus will reach her retrograde Kazemi, her exact conjunction with the sun. This will be on the 3rd of June. So one interesting thing is, Yes, Venus will still be retrograde. She's not stationing direct yet. But she will have had an initial meeting, an initial audience in the throne room of the sun, and will be carrying insights, messages that we may not quite have access to yet, but we know are coming when Venus gets enough separation from the sun to be seen and to communicate with us once again. Then we get to the full moon, which I will be saying more about as we get closer to it. A busy couple of weeks, intriguing, challenging, duality built in, needing to move forward without having the total clarity that we might wish for, not knowing the exact results of what we're going to do or embark upon. And yes, there's a sense in which that's always true, right? We never have any guarantees in this life. Yet in our current circumstances, everything feels and is more uncertain, more up in the air, more challenging. We can hold on to the Gemini optimism and rising energy, and then move through the other moon signs, tracking the feelings, the emotions as they wash over and through us, and learn as we go. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology, who only today completed my experience at NORWAC, the Northwestern Astrology Conference, to which I had hoped to travel in Seattle, but instead was offered as the most amazing online conference experience that I have had. They did a fabulous job. There was a fabulous program. And those of us who were registered for the conference now have 2 weeks to revisit, re-listen to the presentations we attended, and even take a peek in at the ones we didn't get to. So I am full of new astrological richness and ideas that I will hope to share with you and unfold for you as we move through the, let's say, 2 interesting times ahead of us. Heading in first to a series of 3 eclipses, and then on through the rest of this most amazing year. As always, thank you for listening.